Well, welcome again to Alive. We're so glad to have you guys joining us today. And I want to just jump right in this morning because I think we're already in the water. The water's great. Jesus is here. And so let's just get a little wet. Amen. Got a little wet when you came in, right? A little extra bonus shower in case you missed it. But today, I believe God's got something powerful for each and every one of you guys. And I just want to ask you a question right out of the bat. Have you ever bought something that looked valuable to you only to later realize that it didn't carry much value? I think we do this a lot. I was thinking, I meant to talk to Ezra this morning, but he saw this Michael Jordan card like on Amazon or eBay, and he was like, "Dad, it was only a penny or a dollar, and it looked great, and we bought it, and we got it. It was the cheapest thing I'd ever seen. Like, I don't think it was even made out of real paper." And I was like, he's like, "What do you think it's worth?" I'm like, "Not much, bud." Wasn't graded, wasn't in a case or anything like that. But man, I think it happens all the time, right? We approach things in life, we see things, we chase something shiny, something significant, something that we think has great worth and value. And you know, the world promises this will make you happy, this will fulfill you, this will bring you peace, right? And we buy it in so many different ways, with our time, with our energy, with our finances. Only later do we realize, man, we deeply and greatly overpaid. And Jesus asked this question that we're going to wrestle with this morning to every generation. And every generation has to have an answer to this question. Don't show the slide yet, but the question that we're going to deal with today is, what does it profit a man to gain the world but lose his soul? A really heavy question, right? And this question isn't about money. It's about meaning. This question isn't about your finances. It's about your focus. And this question isn't just about what you have. It's actually more about who you are becoming. You see, in Mark chapter 8, which we'll look at in a moment, Jesus had just told his followers what it really means to follow him. And he said, "You need to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me." And then he drops this question, one that cuts the heart of every man, every woman, every person, right? Every crowd, every century, every culture. Basically saying, what are you trading your soul for? And we know that there's power when we lean into the questions that Jesus asks. If you guys have been with us this month, we're in week 3 here, and we realized and we've seen that Jesus asks over 300 questions amongst the four Gospels. And he asks questions to us and his disciples for different purposes. Sometimes it's to have us look inward and reflect on ourself and our heart. Sometimes it's to convict us or reveal our motives. And oftentimes it's to lead us to the truth that will ultimately set us free. But today, I want to dive into our next life-changing question that we are going to look at that Jesus asked, and it's this, and if you're taking notes, you can write this one down. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will it profit a man or woman if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul in the process? Church, let's pray one more time as we prepare our hearts and minds to dive into this word this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for your presence here. Jesus, we know that you ask some serious questions. This is one of them. And Father, we all know that we have to come to account of what the answer is in our own lives to this question. So we ask you, Lord, by faith this morning, search us, know our hearts, know our motives, know our focuses, know what we value, know what we put worth on, Father God. And Lord, if there'd be anything that is above you or bigger than you or taking up more space than you, Father, I just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would move mightily in our lives and do a fresh work in us. Holy Spirit, speak to us, for we are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Well, if you guys brought your Bibles or you do that whole, like, I turn it on the phone there, go on over to Mark chapter 8. That's where our text is going to be from this morning, Mark chapter 8. And while you're turning that on or turning there, just for a moment here, I want to give you guys a little bit of context behind what we're about to read here. In Mark chapter 8, it actually takes place in Caesarea Philippi, which we looked at in week 1 of this series, if you're with us. That was the city that was mentioned where Jesus asked the question, who do you say I am? And we looked at a lot of things about that city, that it was full of pagan idol worship. Roman emperor, right? The power of Rome and wealth and worldliness. And you remember Jesus said, who do you say I am? Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes on after that moment, which we didn't look at, to begin talking about his death and predicting his suffering. And the disciples are shocked. They're like, you got to be kidding me. You're leaving us? And Peter said, no. And he rebukes Jesus. And we know that a lot of us are familiar with this passage of scripture. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Right? And so it's like, whoa. And then Jesus sets up this beautiful contrast between human thinking, right? Gain and success and avoidance of pain to God's way, which is often sacrifice and surrender and eternal reward. And this is what brings us to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. We're going to look at verse 34 through 38 together to see this question in the context around it. And then we're going to dive in and pull some stuff away from this. Would you guys read with me or follow along on the screens with us? Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Verse 36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Verse 37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let's take a look again real quick at that question smack dab in the middle of that passage here. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, we see Jesus asking this heart-burning question. He says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a really powerful question. Really heavy question, challenging. And it's what we also call a rhetorical question. If you guys are familiar with this, you know that a rhetorical question is asked to make a point. It isn't even asked for an answer, right? I think we already know the answer to this question, right? Like some of you are like, we can go home now, right? Like I get it. It's not good. It does not profit us. It is no bueno to gain the whole world, but lose our entire soul in the process. But just because we already know the answer to Jesus's question doesn't mean that you and I are automatically immune to the temptation to slip into the trap of trying to gain the entire world, or what the world calls is good, what the world calls is success, what the world calls is popular, what the world calls is politically correct. It doesn't mean that we're immune to that. And so we have some work to do in our own hearts to make sure that we're positioned in the right place and we have a spiritual posture about us that does not lose our own soul. And whatever that means, we're going to look at that together. And so with the time left today, I want to dive deeper into the true meaning of this question and really what we can take away. I've got three things for you guys this morning. The first one is this, if you're taking notes, number one, there's a cost to every choice. We see this in our scripture text here, Mark 8, 36 and 37. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I find it interesting, this profit and gains and exchange words that are used here. Jesus is using business language intentionally. Many of you guys know my past and history, but some of you guys don't. I before becoming a pastor and a preacher, I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing a million years. If you would have came to me as a kid, I grew up about a minute away from this building here. And I'll tell you what, I was very far from Jesus. But I'll tell you what, when I went off to college, I actually got my undergrad degree in business management and marketing. And so I took a lot of business finance classes, a lot of accounting classes, God help us, right? I remember these terms being thrown around all the time, profit and gain and margins and exchange and all of that. It was constant in our homework, these profit loss situations. And it's interesting, when you look at the Greek words of profit and exchange and gain, they are economical terms that Jesus is using even in that time. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying every choice you and I make comes with a price tag. Every choice we make comes with a price on it. Everything we say yes to means we're saying no to something else, right? And how many of you guys know there's always a cost? Success costs time and money. Approval often costs authenticity in our culture, right? Control often costs our peace. And sin always costs our soul. See, we live in a world that says you can have it all. Whatever you want, you can have it all. But Jesus is saying here, you can't keep it all. Something's got to give. You can't gain everything that the world has to offer and still stay the same person. You can't pursue the world's approval and still walk in God's purpose for your life. We see in Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In other words, where your attention goes, that's where your affection will go. And if your affection goes one way, wherever your affection goes, your soul is close to follow. Paul says it a different way in here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." He realized that what looked like profit in his life because of the world standard was actually loss compared to the amazing intimacy that he experienced with Jesus. I think it's important for us to realize this, guys, that you can gain what you want most and lose what you need most. I'll say that again. You can gain what you want most in life, but at the same time, lose what you actually need. Gaining the world, but losing Jesus. So Jesus is saying, before you chase it, before you go after it, count the cost. Count the cost, right? Because once we know the cost, we can start asking the better question, which is it really worth my soul? Is it really worth my true self? And we see this in tons of different areas that we can be challenged to count the cost. Maybe in our career, we can chase the promotion, we can chase the raise, we can chase the titles and the prestige, but guess what? It'll often come with a cost of time and rest and presence with your family and peace. Right, I've often heard it said, and maybe you guys have heard this too, don't climb the ladder of success like so many people do and realize that the ladder was on the wrong wall the whole time. Climbing up to get somebody else's approval when God's like, "Where are you at? What are you doing? Why are you wasting all this time?" And get it, hear our heart. There's nothing wrong with working hard. The Bible has a lot to say with that. If a man don't work, he should not eat. Right? You got to put your hand to something. You can't just pray that God will grow a money tree in your backyard and he'll take care of all your needs. You got to get out there and do something, right? Give God something to work with. We're not talking about not working hard. But when your work becomes your worth, the cost is your soul. When your work becomes your worth, the cost is your soul. What about parenting? Guys, parents, we got a lot of parents in the room or parents-to-be or grandparents. You guys have seen this too probably, but don't be so focused on giving your kids everything that you forget to give them yourself. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, what's the cost of that? It's connection and discipleship. Like your kids don't need a perfect life. They need a parent who's present. Can I get an amen on that? They don't have to have the latest and greatest and all this stuff. That's great and nice. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus doesn't condemn that, but they don't need a perfect life. And they actually might need to go through some hardship sometimes. Like, learn how to do this yourself. Like, we're in a generation, like, no kid, like, anytime like, it gets hard in the next generation, they just tuck tail and run to find something easy. That's not life. So we don't need a perfect life. We need a present parent that can disciple them and train them up and show them the way that they should go and say, that is right. And what culture's doing right now, that is wrong. And let follow me as I follow Christ, all right? And if you're under my roof, we're going to do it this way. Any parents out there? Amen? Got real quiet. Woo. What about our integrity? This is so sad, but I think we've all experienced this in different seasons of our life. You can gain short-term success by cutting corners, by lying, by manipulating. But the cost is trust, it's respect, and it's your soul's peace, knowing that you're doing something deceitful Eventually, the truth will always collect its debt. And here's something I've been challenged with in my own life. If it costs your character, it's too expensive. If the cost is your character, it's too expensive. It ain't worth it. So guys, there's a cost to every choice. We see Jesus challenging us through this question. Another thing we can learn from this question is number two. You can gain the world and still come up empty. You can gain the world and still come up empty. Take a look at this, Mark 8:36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What does it mean to gain the whole world? It means the things of the world, right? Whatever it means people strive for, which is success, which is money, which is status, which is approval, which is possessions, which is comfort, which is popularity, you name it. That's the world, to gain all of that, yet to lose your soul. Side note, Jesus is not condemning success through this verse. He's redefining it. He's given us a new perspective. He's saying, don't let the world's scoreboard define your worth. Don't look at the world scoreboard and say, am I doing a good job? Am I serving the Lord based on the world scoreboard? Because the world scoreboard and God's scoreboard are completely different. And they keep score of different things. So you might be like, I'm crushing it. It's a blowout in the world. And Jesus is like, you've got negative points here. We haven't even turned on your score light bulbs yet. You're like, oh shoot. You know what I'm saying? We say it all the time around here. Jesus doesn't care if you have stuff. He cares if the stuff has you. The stuff, the worldly stuff, the possessions, all of that has you. We see in the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, 15 through 21. I'm not going to read that whole parable, but if you're not familiar with it, the man had barns full of grain. Actually, he was so prosperous, he tore down his little barns and he built bigger barns to keep all of his stuff in it, right? But his heart was completely empty from God. And Jesus speaks to him in this parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 20. Check out what God said to him. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So this guy gained everything, yet in the end, he couldn't take any of it with us. I think it's a good reminder. Everything we accumulate, everything we own will all burn someday. That's pretty depressing, but it will. Except our soul and what we do for the kingdom. The only thing that's eternal. That is so challenging every single day. Your car that you like that you came in and had the heated seats this morning, all that, it will burn. Not now, all right? You don't need an insurance claim, all right? So, but eventually, at the end, if Jesus comes back while we're still here on this earth, it will all burn. 1 John 2:17 says, the world and its desires will pass away. Guess what? It's going away, guys. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Guys, the world can fill your hands with a lot of stuff, but it will never fill your heart. It can never fully fill your heart. So let's be honest. Where in our lives do we try to gain the world in different ways? For some of us, it's money, it's finances. For some of us, it's our image or our perceived image. For some of us, it's control. Jesus says, you can hold everything the world has to offer and still be empty on the inside. Man, that's really powerful. And it's challenging, because here's the deal. Your bank accounts, your investments, your 401ks, your IRAs, your whatever else you want to do there can be full, but your heart and your life can be so empty. You can have luxury homes full of high-end goods and stuff. You can drive the nicest cars. You can spend summers on the yacht and the boat. You can have the lake house and the up north house and the that house and the this house and the Vrbo and the Airbnb. You can have all that stuff. You can have possessions. You can have diamonds. You can have jewelry. But you can be so empty on the inside. We got to be careful with where our scoreboard is. Your social media pages can be full of followers and likes and shares on the outside, but you can be so alone and empty on the inside. Guys, this might buy you temporary comfort, but it cannot buy you contentment. This might buy you some followers or friends, but it's not buying you fulfillment. And this can buy you things, but it cannot buy your soul. But some of us are letting it. There's a tether between this thing and our heart. And every night and every morning and every lunch break and every time we go number two, come on, somebody. Go to the bathroom, quit scrolling. Get in there, get done, get it out, and get on with your day. What are you doing in there, man? Don't let it dry. That's all I got to say. All right, don't let it dry. All right? Some of you are like, I cannot believe that. Just trying to help you, like just trying to shepherd the sheep, like pastor y'all, you know, I'm like, just common sense, like go to the bathroom, get out. But check out this quote from C.S. Lewis. I think this is super challenging. I've been reading this week. He said, aim for heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim for earth and you will get neither. This is where our focus is at. Aim for heaven, the things of the kingdom, and guess what? You get earth thrown in because God's okay with us having some nice stuff and being blessed to be a blessing while we're here on this side of heaven. But if we only aim for the earth in the world, we will miss everything because we're heading in the wrong direction. We can gain everything people dream of and still lose what heaven values the most. And this leads me to my final and I believe most personal truth that Jesus gives us through the invitation of this question. And it is number three. Don't lose your true self in the pursuit of success. Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Everyone say soul. A lot of times when we read these scriptures, we hear this, we think automatically of salvation and just eternity. It is dealing with that, but it's actually much deeper than just that. It's not only talking about eternity, it's talking about the here and now of who you are becoming right now. Side note, I do believe that gaining the world can lead to you missing heaven, but it's not that you miss heaven because of the stuff. Get this straight. You miss heaven if you miss Jesus, all right? Without Jesus, no heaven, amen? You can have Jesus and stuff or Jesus without stuff, but it's Jesus or nothing, kingdom or bust, right? But we can get off our track and our focus with the things of the world, and it can actually lead our hearts astray to leave God and needing a source and needing a savior and us being self-sufficient in our own goods and our own job and our own money and our own skills that are all God-given anyways. They all came from him anyways. Yeah, we do our own thing. We say, I don't need you, God. We box him out of our life. I think we can miss heaven. But we don't miss heaven because of our stuff. We miss it because we don't have Jesus. But the Greek word for soul here in our text is psuche. I like to put that phlegm in there, you know, the Greek. But it's spelled psyche. It means the whole self. Your life, your identity, your being, your essence. He's saying, don't lose your true, authentic self by chasing the things of the world. Don't exchange worldly things for the real you. I like how the Message translation reads our text in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37 in the Message. Love this verbiage here. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you? The real you. What could you ever trade your soul for? So Jesus is really asking us in this passage here, what good is it to achieve everything that the world holds and esteems, yet lose who you truly are? To lose who God created you to be, the real authentic you. This shifts our focus from heaven and hell only to what God is doing in our life now, who we're becoming, right? Who we are, our identity, our purpose, our calling, right? The loss of our true self apart from God. That is so tragic. He's saying, don't trade that in. Don't make that bad deal. Don't make that bad exchange, right? My goodness, we can get so busy chasing that next best thing that we forget who we were created to be, right? We can win every argument that ever mankind brings to us, but always lose our peace. and our sleep. We can impress everybody else and still not know who we are on the inside. We can gain followers and platforms and lose our faith. We can gain attention and perform, but lose authenticity in the process. We can gain the spotlight. We can lose our soul. Matthew said in Matthew 16, 25, Jesus said this, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Guys, the paradox of the gospel is this. You don't find yourself by holding on. You find yourself by surrendering. So many of us are like, mine, mine, me, me, me. It's like Finding Nemo and the seagulls. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mine, 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 mine. And we just hold, we hoard, we build, we decorate. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but like it's all us, and our worth, our value, our self-esteem is tied to it. That's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by surrender. Open hands, open palms, palms up. Fill my life, Lord. See, the greatest tragedy isn't dying with nothing. It's living with everything and not knowing who you are. That is the greatest tragedy. Who are you? Who has God made you and created you to be? Your personality, your intellect, your emotions, the things that God has neatly wired. Don't lose that in the sea and the mess of the pursuit of happiness and life. Yes, we have freedom to do that, but do it God's way. We don't need the world's way. Jesus asked, "What will you exchange for your soul?" And sometimes you can hear it and it's like, wow, that's really harsh. This isn't condemnation. This is compassion from our Savior. He's saying, stop trading your soul for things that can't satisfy you. Stop giving it away. Stop making bad deals. Don't lose your true, authentic self to the things in this world. It's not worth it. And here's the deal. Maybe, if we're honest, some of us have made some of these bad trades. Maybe we find ourselves a little convicted this morning in our seat or wherever we're watching from. We've traded our peace for performance. We've traded presence with our family, our wife, our spouse for productivity. We've traded worship for worry. And we've traded our identity for image. But here's the good news. You wanna know the good news? There's such good news in Jesus. The one asking this question to us this morning is the one who paid the price to buy our souls back. He is the one. On the cross, Jesus made the greatest trade. We call it the great exchange. It's not even fair. It's even hard to fathom. He gave his life to redeem yours. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness, right? And he paid our debt and our penalty so that we could live free. Today, may we stop the wrong exchange program and make the right one. We can trade control for surrender. We can trade our self-image for a savior. And we can trade the world to gain and keep our true soul and self. Guys, the soul is the only thing you can't afford to lose, and the only thing that Jesus thought was worth dying for. And so there's a cost to every choice, but we can make the right choice. Remember, we can gain all the things in the world and still come up empty and short. May we not be tricked and deceived, and may we always remember that our true self, our soul, the real us, let's not trade that in for a bunch of counterfeits, a bunch of stuff that promises to satisfy us, but will never last in the end. Church, would you pray with me as we go to Jesus this morning and just put our hearts before our Savior and respond to this? Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful and thankful for your presence here with us this morning. Jesus, you said, what would it profit a man or woman to gain the whole world and yet lose his or her soul in the process? Lord, we know that it would not profit us anything. Lord, we acknowledge that. We affirm that this morning. And Father God, we ask you to move in our hearts mightily. Lord, as we're challenged, as we're convicted, as we're refocused and repositioned, Lord God, towards the things of your kingdom, the things that are eternal, the things that will last. Father, we ask you, Lord, to show us maybe some areas or attitudes or thought patterns in our life that have been chasing the world, not chasing you. Father, we want to leave that stuff here this morning. And Lord God, we want to leave with just you, Jesus. So Lord, in these next few moments, I pray that you would minister to us specifically. You customize these moments for all of us. And Lord God, that you would meet us in our faith, in our honesty, in our authenticity, Lord God. I thank you for powerful things about to happen these next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.